All right. Well, it's 10:15, so we are going to go ahead and get things. The session we're in today is Understanding the Impact of the Future of SharePoint. We're going to do quick introductions to the team. My name is Jennifer Ann Mason. I work at Planet Technologies. You can find me at Twitter, at Jennifer Mason, or www.jenniferannmason.com. I like to tell people that I'm allergic to syntax and semicolons, so everything that I do is what you can do with SharePoint out of the box. So really working with power users, helping them understand how to use SharePoint, understand how to get things going. So we'll have next, we'll go with John and then Kathy.
Hi, I'm John White. I'm the CTO of a company named Unlimited Viz. We are the makers of tyGraph, analytics for Office 365 and Yammer. I have played with SharePoint in one form or another since 2001, which makes me old.
Means you're calling me old.
There was other stuff before that. Yeah, my contact information's on there. Yes, I like to dive, and yes, I'm not old. So anyway.
Hi, I'm Kathy Du. I'm CatPaint1 on Twitter. I also work at Planet Technologies. I'm an enterprise delivery manager. And involved in that, I like to spend a lot of time figuring out how to make SharePoint look not like SharePoint, so doing everything the product group hates. And then I spend a lot of time, I'm not allergic to semicolons, and so I spend a lot of time in the developer world as well. So we kind of go all across the board, so we definitely encourage you to ask us questions. There are mics in the middle, and so we're going to be looking forward to getting some questions from you today.
Yeah, so the format of the session today is really open Q&A. They wanted us to present some sessions where you guys could ask us questions and get our perspectives and our answers. So I'm going to start out the room with asking each of them just this question about our experiences with SharePoint's updates over the last year. The two mics in the middle are where we'll pull the questions from. So after we've all had you sit down, we'll now have you stand up and come to the center to the mic and ask a question. You might be able to pay a dollar to the person on the end to make them, you know, ask your question. But that's kind of how we'll go. If the room is quiet, then it'll be dealer's choice, and we'll just start asking each other's questions. So first up, Kathy, we'll start with you. Over the last year, what has your experience been like with SharePoint updates and all the changes?
Yeah, it's been a real challenge over the last year, as I'm sure many of you have experienced. How many of you in the room are dealing with Office 365 and SharePoint Online? Yeah, so we feel your pain with the updates and the continuous changes. It is definitely a challenge, right? We get one thing, one feature set rolled out and users trained on it, and 2 weeks later they put something different out. I've definitely experienced that from customers and from myself alike. I laughed a couple of weeks ago. I was building a demo for this conference, and it took me 30 minutes to figure out how to create a promoted links list in the new site contents slide. And I kind of laughed, and I was like, if it takes me 30 minutes to figure out how to do it, how long is it taking other people? And so it's definitely a continuous change is an issue, and trying to manage that for our user population is even harder. So there's a lot of clues and things that we can look towards, you know, roadmaps. And for me, the most valuable thing is if you are in an Office 365 tenant and you have or know someone on your team who's a global administrator, have them forward you the weekly update email if you're not a global admin, because every week Microsoft sends on Monday mornings, Sunday nights, they send a weekly update and it tells you everything that changed in your tenant over the last week. And so that gives you a cue as to what's going to happen with your users during that week. And that's my favorite kind of thing to give me that insight. What about you, John?
Well, I'm pretty. I guess I'm bullish on the constant change stuff. For years and years and years, we were screaming at them to hurry up. You know, we need this feature now. We need this feature now. And it's like someone said, "Okay, there you go. Enjoy it." Part of what we do is an ISV, and we have a product that installs both on-prem and it works in the cloud. We don't have any problem rolling anything out to the cloud customers. We have an infinite amount of problems rolling out to on-prem customers because you don't know what their environment is like, you don't know what version they're on, it goes on and on and on. So for me, the constant, it's not so much about the constant change, it's about having the same level for everyone, whether they like it or not. As an ISV, it's very, very good for us. So that's my experience.
All right, and just a reminder, panel session, mics, questions, audience?
Can't get out. We'll figure out a way.
Oh, we've got one.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
I have a question about a feature that was supposed to be rolled out that hasn't as of yet. I represent the University of Miami, and we've just about finished moving off servers onto SharePoint 365. And the big question is with lists, there was supposed to be the removal of the 5,000 item view threshold. You know, that's the fun one. And it's been promised over and over again that it would appear to be a new feature so we don't have to worry about custom views, and so far no dice.
Yeah, so one of the interesting things about this panel is none of us are blue badges. So if you're familiar with what a blue badge is, that's a Microsoft employee. So none of us are Microsoft employees. We're all independent. So we don't have necessarily insider information on dates and stuff like that. We laugh, as you say, the 5,000 threshold, because I think that is one thing that we tell them all the time, over and over again.
We're waiting.
This is a problem.
Like you.
We're waiting for it. I think with the addition of the modern list and what we're seeing with the coming with the modern list, we're starting to see where things are going to go, and I think those thresholds are going to change. It's slow in coming, because how long did they tell us, you know, you can have a 2 gigabyte file upload limit? And then it finally changed, and it finally got bigger. And so I know that they're working on it. I know that they've done a ton of work in List. They have a session, what's coming with List, I think it's Wednesday or Thursday, where they might talk about that. I know it's still on the roadmap, and we feel your pain. I wish we could make them do it faster.
It's still an active engineering task. It's not one that they've given up on. They actually have people dedicated to figuring out how to make that work. And so it is something that I know the person that's there, and they're actively working on it. And I don't anticipate that it's going to be another 2 years before we see that happen. I think it's going to be much sooner than that, but I don't know a date around that. But I do know that they are actively working on that 5,000 list limit.
Thank you. I'm going to add in, I think it's soon too, and it absolutely needs to be done. However, usability with 5,000 items in a list is something you want to consider. You know, you don't want to have a drop down with that many items, etc. When you have a lot of data in a SharePoint list, it's not a bad idea to consider moving it out into SQL, surfacing it a different way. Just think about that.
You're up.
Hey, I'm curious to know if you guys have any insight about the future of forms and the migration path forward from InfoPath.
Yeah. I love that question.
Let's go.
I heard you about the blue badge thing, so I know that's...
Yeah,
it's
no,
10:23, so that's...
It's coming. It's coming. I think that as it stands right now, the solution is still to use InfoPath. But you have to use it wisely. So I like to tell people, if you're looking at what you're doing with InfoPath, if it's custom code, if it's something extremely complex, if it's something that you need to use in the whole organization, you probably want to look at using something along the lines of a custom solution, maybe a third-party tool. Until then, Power Apps and Flow, they're coming along, but I don't think anyone is going to say that they're a one-to-one replacement.
Yeah, they don't seem to be there yet.
No, they're not there yet, and they're starting with... features, and I think it's the yet.
Right.
Yeah, and I think it's coming, and so then we have to look at, okay, well, how is that going to fit into what we're doing? I love InfoPath as much as I hate InfoPath, the same way with SharePoint Designer. I love it as much as I absolutely hate it, and I can't argue necessarily that it's the best way to do things, but at the end of the day, you've got to still do forms. And so the thing I'd encourage everybody to do is keep harping Microsoft, get down to that booth and say, hey, yeah, you know, forms, we really need to do it. I'd start looking into the Power BI and Flow. They have a lot of sessions out here, not Power BI, Power Apps, which is now part of the Power BI. Power Apps and Flow is kind of in the same family. I think you're going to start to see movement there. They've made huge strides, but they also still need to make, I think, we're all involved. We were with them all day on Sunday in training and telling them no, no, and yes, and we have meetings with them again. So now is a good opportunity to throw your voice in and kind of say what's going on. But as it stands, the official is still InfoPath until we have something better, and we don't have anything better yet, and InfoPath is still supported till 2023.
All right, yeah. Thank you.
And another way that you can use your voice is there's something out there called User Voice. How many of you have heard of User Voice? So user voice is what the product group is actively monitoring, looking for the features and the things that you guys are wanting. So make sure you look on user voice. If there's something about forms that you agree with, you get a certain number of votes when you create account in user voice. Vote on the things that you like. That's how features are getting added into Office 365 and solutions are being developed. So that's another great resource.
Yeah, I want to throw in too. Power Apps is in preview. It's not even released yet. So we know how it goes with Microsoft and releases. That said, depends on what you use forms for. If you want to use it as a simple way to hide fields on a SharePoint form, it's going to be up to the task at first release, I think. So have a look at what you want to use it for. And I want to plug Stratus Forms, Mark Rackley's product. It's free client-side, works in the cloud, works on-prem. So if you need something now, low investment, have a look at it.
Stratus Forms.
My name is Koen from Belgium.
Welcome.
I worked for two international companies. They used SharePoint for more than 2 years. After 2 years, chaos, no organization, no governance around it. Then they asked my advice after 2 years. We have the different knowledge about team sites, project sites, self-service, and all these things to make it more robust and transparent. My question is, going to SharePoint Online with all these changes also, the groups, a group has a site and these things. And I think, is it the good word? You have profilation of sites and these things. What is your experience for maybe big companies? Do they like that? How do they tackle that?
That one's been an interesting one, and I think the answer So it depends. It depends on what's going on within an organization. I've been in large organizations where they have turned off groups altogether because they can't handle the chaos that can come with everyone creating a group. And they've not said that groups are bad. They've just said, until we can get some control around it, we're going to turn them off. I've also been in organizations where they've done the opposite and said, oh, groups gives us all we need, so we're going to delay starting with SharePoint and doing a big SharePoint implementation because we can get what we need with groups. And then it's been in a group or in a site where it's mixed. And so my advice to that is really there's going to be best practices, and there's going to be guidelines that there's given, and then there's going to be what happens in the real world and what's actually practical. And so a lot of it is looking at it and understanding your users and really understanding the change that they can take. And then from there, deciding what features are we going to turn on and turn off and try to guide them towards using it. There, I worked with one group that they turned groups on and had a major mess and had to go back and clean it up. And then from there, they kind of had to change their policies of what they did with first release. And so really a lot of it is just understanding your audience and then picking a governance plan that's going to work for you and your users based on those factors.
Yeah, I would say that a lot of large companies and institutions that I'm working with are all turning groups off right now, just because there's not enough compliance, there's not enough tracking, there's not enough, you know, information rights management and retirement and all of that archive policies around groups. And so the manageability for them isn't there for the number of restrictions they need to put in place. For the smaller organizations that I work with, they're using groups because they are so flexible and easy to use. So it really kind of goes on the bandwidth of, you know, how much structure do you need to put in place and how flexible can you be as to whether or not people are using them. I think that with the changes they've been talking about this week, with when you create a new SharePoint team site, you get a group along with it to really unify it together, the picture is going to start becoming a lot more clearer about how we utilize those. But for how they're released right now, it's kind of a one or the other as far as what I'm seeing.
Okay, so Corey's got a mic right here. It's impossible for everybody to get out. So for the last 15 minutes, if you have a question, raise your hand, and we're going to have him bring you the mic to make it a heck of a lot easier and actually get to questions. So then I'll let you in.
Yeah, no problem. As just to reinforce all of this, we're a small company, and I love groups. I've turned them on, and we've pretty much moved everything into the group construct, and that's pre-team site. So what you're seeing here, the future SharePoint, right, with the team sites being a part of a group, that's going to make it all that much better. We're small enough that we can manage that. It's no problem, but we do have something like 60 groups showing up along the left-hand side in some order. I'm not sure what the order it's in. It's not alphabetical. There's no way to manage that. So from a usability standpoint, not just a governance standpoint, they've got to do some work before we can roll that out on a large scale. But with that said, that single logical container for all of these different resources, and that extends out to Power BI, is beautiful. We just spin that up, and we know where things can be. So I'm pretty excited about Groups General.
Yeah. My question's around global navigation. Are they bringing that back?
Oh, that's a fun one. So global navigation, are they bringing it back, the question? That's a tough one. So you're talking about throughout everything and with the new document libraries and lists and how it disappeared?
Yeah.
So that's one of the number one requests in user voice right now is to bring global navigation back. And I believe they're putting it back. I think it was kind of an oops that it didn't have it when they rolled it out, and so they kind of were like, what? And so as far as I understand it from what's happening, global navigation is still in the plan. Breadcrumb navigation, not so much, but global nav across everything, they don't think people use breadcrumb navigation, so please use or voice it because everybody uses it. But if you would, like global nav, as far as I understand it, is coming back, and that's using metadata or structured and managed, as far as I understand it.
There is an effort underway. I don't know where it's at, but there's an effort underway to rationalize navigation across all of the products. So that may also play.
We'll go, Corey. Yeah, we'll get one there and then one back over here. Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to find out, what do you think, skill set-wise, people are going to have to change to keep with the trends?
I actually think, and so I work on a product right now that brings training to end users, and we have to manage all of the changes that are coming with Office 365. I think skill track-wise, things are getting a lot easier. So I think you're going to be able to just pick up and use things. I always used to joke about when I did sessions that it needs to be easy enough that my mom could do it. And my mom's an RN, and her hospital is in the middle of transitioning to SharePoint. And so she'll call me, and I'm like, okay, now it really needs to be easy enough that my mom can do it. But she's able, because otherwise she's calling me. But they're picking up on things a lot easier. And so with groups and some of those things, I think you're going to end up getting easier entry point into a lot of those features. But then you go to something like Power Apps, and where it's supposed to be a no-code solution, I think eventually it's going to be a no-code solution. But right now, you still have to have a lot of syntax and understanding of development constraints. So I think you're looking at, for that end user, they're lowering that, you know, boundary and lowering that entry point. And then some of these other tools, you have to take more dev-like. So those power users are going to have to stretch a little bit into the tool base meets them back where they're at. And so that's kind of how I describe the industry right now.
And then for like the developer world, if you're looking for like IT pro and developer, where am I going to need to go? So from the developer perspective, especially with the release of the SharePoint framework, the new developer tool, right? It's JavaScript, but not like, I know JavaScript and I had a large learning curve to get into it because I don't use TypeScript and I don't use a lot of React. I was much more Angular than React. So I had to learn React and TypeScript to get into the SharePoint framework. So it wasn't just JavaScript coming into that. So it's a little bit of a transition for those of us that are doing it as well. I mean, that's something I had to go learn to do that as well.
The questions asked illustrate a giant overarching question for me. My installation, 8,000 user base, all 100% on-prem. I work for local government. How are folks managing either an O365 environment or a hybrid environment, even more critically?
Can you put the mic a little closer?
Sorry,
so people can't hear you.
Managing an O365 environment or a hybrid environment with the continual change to functions, features from a training standpoint, a user standpoint, a governance standpoint. To me, it creates, being politically semi-correct, a massive quagmire.
Yep. Very difficult. So a lot of organizations are going to rely on turning first release off. So first release is off for their implementations. And then there's also the paths that you can have for updates. So if you have like Office 365, you know, Pro Plus, are you going to be on the current branch or are you going to be on the business branch, which kind of slows things down? What we're seeing right now is that things are rapidly coming to first release. If you're a first release candidate, you are getting stuff every Tuesday, it seems, and then it's Wednesday. In fact, I'm on a first release tenant, and in between my stinking two sessions yesterday, I refreshed my screen and something was different. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I just presented this, and now I'm presenting it again, and the UI is different. But when it actually comes to reality and it hits production and it goes to general availability, it's not like that. The only things that hit general availability that quickly are security bugs and things that you want to hit. The rest of the features are going slow. The things that they're turning out right now, even with modern list and modern libraries, they're coming in with the controls to turn it off in the tenant until you're ready. So really it's understanding, and how you manage it is you get so involved in knowing it that even if you know you're not in first release, you know all the pieces that are coming and you have a plan to when are we going to turn them on or off. And then you start looking for training resources that you can constantly. Training is not once and done anymore. It's a continual how do we provide this training over and over again to our users and make ourselves ready to go. All right, Kathy's got this done. Yeah.
Okay, hello.
Yes.
So the question about this new look and feel for the document libraries and the SharePoint lists. Just wondering, how do you guys manage that change from, you know, all the things that we've built so far that we need to adapt to this new, let's say, world?
So if you, like I said, I'm not a blue badge. The 100% real world answer of how I've managed the change in the new document libraries, I don't have a customer yet that's using it. They all went back to classic. And that's kind of the reality. I don't know if you guys have a different reality. And then once some of the new features come up, there's certain things that are missing. Once those come up, we may try it with a small select group and then see. So it's that's kind of my honest answer at this point for that one.
Hello. I work for a very large manufacturing coatings company, 45,000 employees, 70 different countries. So we're a global company, and our entire intranet runs on SharePoint. We are a SharePoint on-prem 2010, migrating to SharePoint 2016 on-prem, no hybrid, no Office 365. And I might be in the minority here because I saw a lot of Office 365, SharePoint Online hands go up. But and I'm not trying to sound like a SharePoint snob, but I'm just wondering if you think that, because I'm getting a little annoyed my last two conferences with Ignite, the SharePoint content being represented is not what I'm looking for. We have 4 terabytes of data that we're going to be migrating, and our farm increasingly becomes more business critical because we are using SharePoint for, we have a third-party workflow tool that we use, and we're building business-critical, made-to-order, master data management, and our manufacturing facilities are relying on these applications to work within SharePoint. And so I'm just wondering, do you think Microsoft will ever bring back a SharePoint conference, or do I need to look at another conference? And I hate to sound like a snob, but I'm just saying, you have everybody waiting outside to get in this room, and the Azure room right next door is wide open.
This, we met for breakfast this morning, and that was the topic of conversation.
I keep giving my feedback, but they don't, I don't know.
And just for a laugh, ask Jeff Tepper that question. Tell him Mark Rackley told you that.
Okay.
They're trying. But the thing that I will say about it is everything awesome that's coming to SharePoint on-prem right now, even Service Pack 1 that's rolling out, and all of these great changes are empowered because they have Office 365. And everything that they're doing with Office 365 is what's going to make that 2016 on-prem experience great. Mm-hmm. And they've really turned in the last 6 months of how quickly they can do that. The fact that we have a service pack coming out already this close after launch is unheard of. Feature pack, I'm sorry. But you know what I mean? It's ahead of schedule. It's coming. There's going to be more coming like that. So I think a lot of people feel your pain. And I know the SharePoint team does, and they know. But SharePoint ceases to be just something in and of itself. If we start looking at CRMs coming into it, you start looking at what Project can do, you start looking at the whole infrastructure of what Microsoft can bring us. Most of what we can do today, as much as the Azure room is empty, is because of the work that Azure's doing. So it kind of all comes together full circle, and I kind of see why they're doing it, but there could be more SharePoint presence. So just if you give that feedback to Microsoft, they are listening, and we kind of laugh at it. But
yeah, but just like you said, I'd love to hear a session on Microsoft SharePoint and CRM Dynamics. Because we do have an integration right now with CRM and SharePoint. We support it in our on-prem farm. But am I doing it right? Or can some other people give me some examples? I mean, what happened to that? And what happened to, like, the customer showcases, where different customers come and talk about how they use SharePoint within their enterprises? Like, I totally miss that. So anyway, I'm done.
All right, I think we have time for like these last two questions, or he's had one over these last three. Okay, go ahead.
So my question is rather short. Do you know if they are giving some love to the Content Type Hub or the Term Store?
So I think the way to look at that is if they're restructuring how they're doing everything in TeamSites. You have this new modern experience, and they're starting out focused on a certain set of features, and then they're working into those harder problems. So they're not going to launch on day one. Like, I did a session yesterday on the task list. If you go and create a task list right now in the modern experience, you lose all of the functionality. That's not the forever stance. That's just where we're going right now. So content type hubs and all of those things that you're talking about are a pretty complex feature inside of SharePoint. And they know they need to do it right. So it's on the roadmap, and it's something that it's coming. So now's your opportunity to kind of get in and voice that, watch what's coming with first release. So by no means do I think they've written it off and they're not doing anything with it. It's just not where they're at right now in the cycle of the modernization of TeamSites.
You saw Jeff T. frankly yesterday in groups showing metadata in a list, which you didn't have before. So there's attention being paid to metadata, and that was a direct result of the feedback.
Hi, my name is Bruce from Los Angeles, and I work for a very large corporation. And I know this is kind of oriented towards, you know, SharePoint and 365, but we have a very large Team Foundation server deployment where we have over 700 projects. And those tie into SharePoint right now with all these project portals, and we're about to upgrade to 2013 or to 2016 for SharePoint. And you talk about Teams and everything in SharePoint, but we also have Teams in Team Foundation Server. And is there going to be any sort of correlation between those two, or are we all left to dry?
I'm going to be honest with you in that I have not heard the answer to that. I've asked it myself because I also use Team Foundation Server. I have not heard the answer to that. So I'm sorry, I don't know the answer to your question.
I would go to the TFS booth downstairs and then also go to the SharePoint booth and try to find a Microsoft product team member and ask them who they should ask about that question. There's very likely somebody here that can give you that answer, but we can't. And so that, or find one of us later and we can find you someone to get them.
Hi, my name is Doug. I'm going to couple, I think, two comments that you made into a question. One, that your mother should be able to use SharePoint, and that I think you said that you pay some attention to making SharePoint look other than it is out of the box. So we're trying to, we are, our whole internet's on SharePoint, and it's reflecting our brand. We're on a hybrid environment, and most people have not gone over to SharePoint Online yet. And we want to one, build an intranet where our brand is there, and we have all these common web parts that people can reuse, and they automatically look as pretty as they can be, and all that stuff. But we're ramping up on having the expertise to do so. So regarding front end and regarding creating web parts that are unique for us and present uniquely but aren't custom, so they don't disrupt the flow of updates from SharePoint Online. And since we're so early in the stage, and also an enablement plan, so that all these people, like your mom, when they move on to SharePoint Online, they know what to do, it's easy for them, because we've made it that way. But we have to do a lot of work to get there, and I just wanted to hear what you might have to say about, you know, guidance for us to make sure we're doing the right thing, or if you've done this before.
You're in a very interesting time, because the SharePoint framework is launching out, and the world as we know it, for the concept of what you're trying to do, I'm sure if you've been to any of the keynotes, you've heard the phrase intranet in your pocket and where SharePoint is coming. So they're definitely going to that route. There's a session, I believe it is Wednesday morning, Adam Harmitz is leading it, and it's the future of intranets. Definitely go to that. I say if you guys are in the early planning stages, engage your local Microsoft folks. Find out what's coming, because you guys might be able to incorporate some of these new things. It might help you get there better, quicker, faster. Yes. Well, and sometimes that's when you can go back with the feedback of, okay, we can be early and accelerated and then redo it in a year when the new way's here. So I think you're right on the cusp of great things coming, but we're right in that stage of that looks really great, but some of that's vaporware on the screen that doesn't really exist, and then some of it does exist and it's coming, but we've seen very rapid development. There's also some side sessions that you can maybe get into and see some of the Microsoft folks and get some of that feedback, because they're building that. I mean, they've said intranet in your pocket has been a phrase that we've heard almost nonstop since May 4th. Which we laugh at every time we hear it. But it would be very exciting right now for me to be in a company that was just getting an intranet if we could go do some of those things, because you have new skills to learn, but the experience and the end result is going to be unlike anything we've seen yet inside of SharePoint. So it's really a great opportunity to do new things, right?
Except for the part where you want to have your brand applied to it, because they don't want you to do that. No, in the modern experiences, there is no way currently in what they have to apply customizations, not even a composed look. No.
The page piece isn't done yet. Not that I'm on the
It's not there. It's not there. And trust me, I harp on that every day. In fact, I jokingly tweeted it yesterday during Teeper session, like, but how do I customize it? Customization allowed in SharePoint Online in the old experiences using the publishing framework and using the classic libraries and lists, not in the modern. And the same with the intranet in your pocket, you don't get to customize how that looks, right? So they know that people are asking for it. They haven't yet provided a way for us to do it. It's getting them to understand that more and more people want it, which is a great thing. They definitely see that here. There's one how to brand things session, and then I meet up tomorrow, and they were shocked at how many people added the UX meetup to the session schedule. Yeah, and so that's something that just to keep in mind from the experiences, doing what you're talking about with the web parts, the framework is going to be fantastic for you for that. Unfortunately, you have to maintain two sets of brand assets because you're hybrid, because the CSS in online is different than the CSS in on-prem. So you have to maintain two sets of brand to get any type of cohesiveness. But they know that we want customization. They just haven't put it in place yet. We don't know what that is. But we're hopeful framework is going to cover that. Yeah, go ahead.
Still living.
So I support SharePoint in the banking industry, and I would love to make the leap from our on-premise environment to Office 365. Obviously, there's deep security concerns for the banking industry and compliance regulations and those sort of things. And I'm trying to get a feel, like, how can I approach that conversation? You know, we have a very healthy communication path with those people, but in thinking about, like, the title, really, of this session, you know, the impact of SharePoint 2016, can that help me in making that case or shaping that conversation with those groups in order to make that transition?
So I've been working with healthcare institutions, which have a lot of the same restriction that finance has because they maintain patient health information in there. And they have the same type of security and all of that restrictions. And the way that we broached that with the compliance groups and the security teams that had those fears was to build that partnership with my Microsoft representative to come in and things like that. And then I had a healthcare institution that wanted this, but wanted more restrictions. So Microsoft allowed them to go into the government cloud, which makes it even more restrictive than the enterprise cloud. So it's a separate set of servers. It's more restricted. So, you know, you can have that your Microsoft reps and get them to help make your case for you to your security and your compliance teams as well, because they're used to that argument.
I'm going to intercept them. Just quickly. It's a funny thing. I think it's a matter of perception as much as it is anything. You can answer all the detailed questions. There's good answers to those questions that are out there. But banks, like insurance companies, et cetera, very conservative organizations, they want to be first to be second, right? Nobody wants to go first. And what you don't have right now is a high-profile bank saying they've made the leap. From what I understand, that's coming, so watch. What you do have is last week, UK Department of Defense just went completely Azure and Office 365, and it was a very public announcement. And that's something to look at right there. So in terms of addressing the fears, oftentimes examples are going to be as much as any technology.
And the only thing I'd add to that is, have you spent much time in the Microsoft Trust? That resource is absolutely fantastic. And a lot of times what you can find out is what Microsoft is doing inside of Office 365 far surpasses what you guys are even, and I don't know your organization, but in most cases, far surpasses what the organization is even capable of doing. And so when you start looking at what are the very specific things you need, they do a great job of that site showing you what is happening, where is it happening, what are the policies that they man, and doing that. So when you're having those tough conversations around security, that's a very legitimate site that you can point people to, get reference. So that's the only thing I'd add for that is Microsoft is partnering with you to have that conversation. They know they have to have that conversation to be successful. So a lot of those resources and details are there specifically for you to be able to have that into the nitty-gritty of how are we doing it? What are we doing it? What compliance are we hitting? Where are we at? And so I think that would be a great resource for you.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. That's one of the things that always comes up is the controls. And they want to know everything at any time, any given time, and be able to lock things down if they need to. It's tough to keep up with.
Yeah, the Trust Center is going to give you a lot of that data.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. It doesn't help to have Office of General Counsel with you.
Yeah.
No, I'm not joking. Hey, John.
Hey.
How you been? This is just a frustrating question, but I guess you guys probably, I know the official answer I get from Microsoft from time to time, but just wondering what you're seeing out there in the real world. With the social experience, so I work for a large firm, global, and multiple SharePoint environments, but we can't do the social part because, again, you know, once you have more than one, the social experience becomes horrible. My account and, you know, three different farms, I have three different social experiences. Is Microsoft doing anything about that on the on-prem in the future, or are they still committed to not doing the social stuff on-prem?
They're not doing anything about it on-prem. That's the short answer. They've said that publicly, loudly.
Yeah.
Your answer is still Yammer in the cloud. Mm-hmm. That story got better this week, a lot better this week. For the last, I'm going to be putting a blog post on, I think, this afternoon about this very topic. For the last year, two, there's been an awful lot of questions about whether or not Yammer, whether or not Microsoft's committed to it, right? We had a lot of mixed signals in the marketplace, not the least of which was the Office 365 community moving to a Lithium-based platform. That was done because they wanted to have it completely available to the public, but nevertheless, those messages were mixed. You're seeing an awful lot of signs here of a reinvestment in Yammer. Go down and see the booth. That the last pedestal was about this big, and that was it.
I got now, a sticker.
They've got a whole they got a whole section. They're having a party. There's an awful lot of stuff. And I don't know if you noticed, it was mentioned multiple times at the keynote.
Yeah.
Yammer is going to be a very integral part of groups. So that those logical units of work that I was talking about, we've got the new team sites, we've got the new style document libraries, all of that stuff is part of a group. Yammer conversations are going to be embeddable in there.
Okay.
They didn't show it, but that's what they did show. If you notice Jeff Tepper's talk yesterday, there's a new Yammer Web SharePoint framework, and it works like a champ. It actually is really nice, and you can tie it to whatever you may be. So you can say basically my conversation threatened, but this is online.
Right.
There's no good story for you on-prem, I'm afraid.
Yeah,
so, no, I don't know if I'm going on too much.
I was just curious. Maybe you getting some. I just wonder what clients are saying. Is anybody going back to Microsoft with the same story? Because it's just for us, it's build a new farm. All right, let's shut off all the social features. Because that's basically what we do.
So what you'll be able to do. This is partly me speculating, but not really. When in feature pack one, right? No. So when the framework shows up. the SharePoint framework that we're seeing being rolled out, just starting into the cloud right now, is all client-side rendering. When that shows up on-prem, I guess maybe feature pack two, I'm not sure when, opens, you're going to be able to embed those Yammer conversations in exactly the same way as you can in Office 365. It won't matter because everything's client-side. This is true for Power BI as well, so report embedding. I'm going to be talking about that on Friday myself. Mm-hmm. Quick plug. But I think that's ultimately going to be it's probably just so far out they don't want to talk about it yet.
Other people are expressing the same exact need that you are. The on-prem story for social, I hear it all the time as a request from people. How do I do social? How do I do news? You know, we used to have the news feed that you could put things in there, and we had the people pages that were easier to use, and the whole social component of the my site. So it is being asked, and it is being put in there. And so again, like I say, user voice, make sure that they hear that you're wanting that for on-prem, and you know, they do know that it is an outstanding request and something that people are looking for. And the SharePoint framework going to on-prem is a much further out. It's not on the roadmap, I don't think, yet for what feature packet might go to on-prem. So make sure that they hear that you want that. That is the way to escalate getting that down.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
We do have a few more minutes, maybe time for one more question. Does anybody else have a burning question they want to ask? Another one, Corey. She's got another one for us.
Didn't see you over there.
So I understand that when you create a team site, you get a group. As we start migrating to the cloud, will those previous team sites automatically get a group? They will?
Eventually. So the very first thing that they're rolling out is the new team site experience, which is going to be modern team sites. And when you create a modern team site, you're going to get a group with it. When you create a group, you're going to get a modern team site. They are addressing in the future as a roadmap item what they do with the existing team sites to make existing team sites have groups and existing groups have team sites. So those scenarios are coming. They're not going to hit on day one. But to be perfectly honest, I'm kind of happy about that because I am sure there are going to be many things when it hits first release that we're going to say, we like this, we don't like this, you need to do this, you need to do that. And then my team sites that are functioning as team sites already, they're going to be left alone until we can go through a process of getting that piece there. So it's not going to hit in first release, but it is completely on the roadmap. But just like they did with groups, you guys remember when groups first came out? Groups first came out and there were zero administrative controls with Groups, like none. And then it took, you know, a couple months being in first release, and then we saw all those controls come out. And by the time it actually went to GA, it had the right mix of controls for it to be usable. So I ended up with the same experience with Groups and team sites. Everything's going to hit the modern experience first. So the modern team sites that they just announced, which they're in first release, but like even still on my tenants, I'm not seeing them. So they're in early first release. Then you'll start to see beyond that, more scenarios will keep coming. And there'll be some that, you know, is on define right now that you can take the old structure and, you know, meld it with the new.
Okay. It's a good question, though. We all want it. Okay. So I think that's it. Hopefully this was helpful, guys. So enjoy the rest.
Thank you, guys. Hey.